ABC Radio Australia.
Now, Pacific climate advocates are hoping a recent historic ruling by the International Court of Justice will have an impact at the upcoming UN climate talks. In an advisory opinion in July, the ICJ clarified that states do have a legal obligation to prevent global warming. The team that brought the case to court are mostly hopeful it will help generate meaningful action at next month's gathering, known as COP30 in Brazil. Lucy Cooper filed this report.
The countdown is on. Only 11 days until COP30. And this year, Pacific leaders and the delegation from across the region are arriving armed with a new bargaining chip.
This is going to be the first climate summit since the International Court of Justice handed down its landmark advisory opinion. And with expectations running high, it changes how we approach this conference.
That's Vishal Prasad of Pacific Islands Students Fighting Climate Change, the group that spearheaded the ICJ case.
Every year, visibly, things are getting worse, while the annual gathering of COP struggles to keep up with the pace of what is needed. This year, though, we go to COP with a new catalyst for ambition and action. The ICJ's ruling gives us both a compass of telling us what must be done and a yardstick of how we will measure action.
He's heading along to COP with two demands.
First is that the ICJ reiterates that the IPCC is the best available science for global climate policy and states that it must use all the means at their disposal to prevent climate harm. If a policy or a plan is inconsistent with the 1.5 degrees Celsius goal, or it props up fossil fuels, it is on the wrong side of international law. Second, the ICJ confirms that developed countries have a legal obligation to provide finance. That means that the finance outcomes at COP30 are no longer discretionary, but they are part of fulfilling states' legal obligations under international law.
Vanuatu provided support to the students' court case. Despite the ICJ's historic ruling, the country's climate change minister has low expectations of COP30.
Coming into COP, we've got to realise that we're in this global shadow of a period of geopolitical upheaval across the board, militarisation, increasing spending on militarisation, reduction in ODA. We're seeing the tipping points happening in front of our eyes.
Dr. Sindhu Sharma, the international policy lead at the Pacific Islands Climate Action Network, is feeling more hopeful.
We've heard that this is an implementation COP, that this is a COP where we're going to see real shift and change to the right direction, to course correct from the ambition that we have been seeing that is lacking overall.
She said the ICJ ruling could lead to monumental finance decisions.
Last year, we saw a significant failure in finance. And this year, we have the clarity of the court as well in terms of the obligations of countries in terms of what climate finance is. It's not charity, it's an obligation. So seeing how that can be strengthened, and I think it's this sort of hardwiring of 1.5 into every room, moving the NDCs from plans to proof, and turning like empty funds and into functioning lifelines. So thinking about the fund responding to loss and damage, these are things that we can really see as tangible outcomes of this COP as well, which can lead to greater hope. But are tools that the clarity of the court has also provided.
The ICJ advisory opinion noted that states that don't take appropriate action to curb emissions may be committing an international wrongful act. Right now in Australia, the federal government is gearing up to introduce an overhaul of the country's environment laws before Parliament. Mr. Reganvanu believes that if the Australian government refuses to consider climate impacts when assessing projects under environmental laws, that will counter the ICJ's finding. Vishal Prasad agrees.
The ICJ is particularly clear in talking about the duty of due diligence, that countries have a duty to ensure that they're doing everything and anything in their power to protect the climate system. And that means having laws, regulations domestically that support or protect the climate system and prevent climate harm. And I think it would be really negligence on Australia's part to not include the findings of the ICJ, not include climate in its considerations. And so really, it does not make sense how you could consider how you could leave out climate. But our hope is that the final version of this legislation in some way does recognize the clarity from the ICJ on the need to include climate as a way to meet your legal obligation.
Looking ahead, COP30 could see the location of COP31 confirmed. It's a contentious topic as the two countries bidding to host the meeting, Australia and Turkey, are refusing to step aside. Here's Ralph Reganvanu again.
We went to the UNGA in September in New York, where there was a concerted effort to try and bring Australia and Turkey together, and the Pacific Island states were there ready to, and with Australia, to push for this. What happened there is that Turkey didn't allow us to come into the room, so it could only be, they only allowed Australia to come in and talk, and that opportunity obviously hasn't produced a compromise. Time is running out because we have to have, this has to be resolved at the COP. Basically, what needs to happen now is that you have the Western Europe and other states group. They need to come up with a unanimous decision. And we have been making our pitch. And really, that's what needs to happen. There needs to be a compromise within that group.